AOPA presents Never Again, true pilot stories from the world of general aviation. In this episode, the pilot of a Cessna 180 learns that a screaming tailwind is great until you have to land across it. Find out what happens in Crossing Charlie by Richard Schnepf. In 1985, I had purchased a low-time cream puff 1955 Cessna 180. November 93370 Charlie was based at Camarillo Airport, roughly halfway between Los Angeles and Santa Barbara. The 180 Skywagon is slightly bigger than its counterpart, the Cessna 170, but flies equally as well with no bad habits. The big 225-horsepower Continental up front provides great performance, and I suspect it will lift just about anything you can stuff in its cabin. Shortly thereafter, a friend called and explained that he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. I was shocked to hear the bad news. However, Ken Doe was an upscale guy who never complained. He offered to sell me his publishing business. "There's nothing more we can do," he said. "Now let's talk business." Soon I was the proud new owner of a publishing company. I intended to make weekly trips to the publishing office in 29 Palms, California. It was a 160-mile drive from our home in Thousand Oaks. 5, perhaps 6 hours of driving, depending on freeway traffic. The light immediately came on. I have the 180. I can fly the 140 nautical miles in an hour or so. The office troops were more than willing to pick me up at the airport. I chose to use High Desert's Joshua Tree Airport, as it was then called, the present-day Lima 80 Roy Williams Airport. It was closer to the office than the 29 Palms Airport and saved me another 50 miles round trip of travel. I made several uneventful weekly flights to the desert. As I recall, it was a Friday afternoon. I planned to fly to the office, take care of business, and return home on Saturday morning. Standing next to Charlie, I stuck my finger in my mouth to check the weather. Holding it above my head, I found a clear azure sky with a slight breeze from the west. I deemed it to be perfect flying weather. This was a time before Camarillo had its control tower. There seemed to be no point in wasting time calling the weatherman on such a beautiful afternoon as this. Besides, I distinctly recall the prior night TV news, who stated it was going to be a beautiful weekend. Clearing traffic on runway 26, I poured on the power and the 180 seemed to leap into the air. The repeated trip was simple. Fly out to Palmdale Omni, grab hold of the 081 radial, Victor 386, and follow it to the soggy intersection, Palm Springs 329 degrees, turn right and poof, I'm there. Nearing Agua Dulce at 5,500 feet, old Charlie left the cool, calm air of the coast and started to bounce and wiggle as it entered the desert heat. The turbulence seemed to increase drastically as I neared Palmdale. I decided to try 7,500. The 180 was all over the sky. The desert was clear. However, I could tell by the blowing sand and dust below that the desert wind was howling on the surface. Rechecking my ground speed, I was now indicating a whopping 195 miles per hour. That's a 50 mile per hour tailwind. Wow! I was making great time. The air remained turbulent as I rounded the turn, heading southeast at the soggy intersection toward Yucca Valley. The High Desert Airport was off to my left at 2,500 feet AGL. I had a long way to go down, so I slowed Charlie and began my descent. I spotted the airport and made a call on Unicom requesting the active runway. The agent got on the horn and told me that they preferred that I use runway 24. He also informed me the wind was blowing at 30 knots with occasional gusts up to 44. Be careful of the crosswind. There's no other traffic reported in the area. No other traffic. Of course not. Who would be this stupid to fly in this kind of wind other than a dummy like me? I entered the pattern and had to add crab on my track in order to remain parallel to 24. Turning slowly, Charlie was aligned on final. We bounced and shook as I lowered the speed and applied two notches of flaps. I was looking out of the left side window in order to keep a straight 240-degree heading. The windsock was like a solid log tied to a pole displaying a 90-degree crosswind. I recall yelling out loud, "You've made crosswind landings before. This one is no different. Keep the windward wing low, steer it with your feet, and at the last second, straighten it and land. Crossing the threshold at an indicated 70 miles per hour, I came off the power. Suddenly, I felt the 180 falling out of the sky. Did the wind decide to stop blowing? Instinctively, I applied full throttle to make a go-around. Charlie responded quickly, bouncing on one wheel and then catapulting itself back into the air. I somehow regained control as the end of the 2,500-foot runway seemed to fly past. With a lump in my throat, I said, "Okay, we'll try again." Only this time, I'm flying the bird to the ground and using a wheel landing configuration. Surely that will work. The Cessna made it around the patch, and as before, once on the final approach, we were flying at a 45-degree angle to the runway. I did my best, but I was still fearful that the wind correction was too much, and that we were exceeding the published crosswind design limits of the bird. I also envisioned a nasty ground loop. This was no time to get out the book and read up on the limits of the 180. Seeing this was nearly impossible, I aborted the second attempt with shaking knees and a dry mouth. It was then that the agent got on the radio, "Cessna 9370 Charlie, take another look at the airport. In wind conditions such as we're having this afternoon, we land using the dirt. We call it runway 30. It's only 1600 feet, but that should help." Looking back, I spotted the worn narrow path. At that time, there were no markings, just a mowed area that crossed 624. The windsock was still pointing from the northwest. I swung Charlie around and aimed for what I considered to be the threshold, dirt, of 30. We continued to bounce and shake, but at least I was looking out the front windshield of the Skywagon. With full flaps extended, the 180 crossed the fence effortlessly. Cutting the power, the old boy kissed the dirt surface in a three-point position without as much as a bounce. Immediately, I dumped the manual flaps and then turned off, guessing we stopped in 300 feet. Taxiing to parking was another chore. The 180's large rudder and fin kept weather-vaning us into the wind. It felt as though we would become airborne without the use of the motor. Approaching the tie-down area, the man from the office came out squinting from the blowing dust, doing his best to ward off the wind. He then grabbed hold of a wing spar as I rotated Charlie into a parking spot. Opening the door, I looked at him, asking, "Kind of windy today, wouldn't you say?" "Yep," he said. "Last time I looked, it's now blowing with gusts up to 55 knots. That's the desert for you. That old dirt runway sure comes in mighty handy sometimes. You did a fine job of setting this bird down. I think you have a feller waiting for you in the office." With the Skywagon safely tucked away, I took care of business, had dinner with the magazine editor, and called it a night. Later, resting in bed, I thought of the attempted landings and my foolish reasons for not calling the weatherman. What I did was not only foolish, but stupid. I could have wrecked a perfectly good airplane and who knows what more. I learned quickly that strong crosswinds are nothing to fool with. The following morning, as I called flight service for the weather update on the return trip, I felt a tap on my shoulder from my assistant editor. I learned that my friend, Ken, had passed away during the night. The Saturday return flight was uneventful in calm air. As Charlie droned along peacefully, I thought of Ken. I was happy that he had thought of me when considering the sale of the business. I also hoped he was now in a better place.
The Never Again Podcast is brought to you by AOPA, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, and by AOPA Pilot Magazine. You can read more Never Again stories online at aopa.org/neveragain. While you're there, you can also join online discussions, check out AOPA's online flight planner, and take interactive online courses from the Air Safety Institute. All of this and more at aopa.org. The Never Again Podcast is produced by Royce Earle. Thanks for listening. Fly safely.